Eric, there's a lot going on with the Avs. Thank you for the time joining us. Let's just briefly take a quick look at the loss last night. Kaapo Kähkönen finds himself making his Avalanche debut. It does not go swimmingly. 16 out of 20 for saves, only 80% as the Avs fall back under 500 on the season. Cale Makar does get a goal and assist and is now tied for the lead in the NHL with 19 points. But looking at the game in a vacuum, just the performance last night of the Avs and Kähkönen in particular, did you see anything that made you feel that the Avs are any closer to solving their goaltending situation?
Honestly, that's probably the least possible question that we can answer at this point. They're truly, I mean, the reality of Kähkönen's game yesterday is that it's hard to really assess how he looked because the Avalanche were pretty much asleep at the wheel for the first 5 or 6 minutes of that game. Jared Bednar spoke after the game about the goals that they let in, and he talked about how the first one was this incredible shot by Nikita Kucherov, and then the next two goals that he let in early in the game, or even all three of them, if you include the fourth one later on, he said he had no shot. He had no chance at saving them. There was, poor defensive coverage or, just good luck for the Lightning or a nice tic-tac-toe play on that third goal. But it was funny because he mentioned the first goal and said, that's an incredible shot from an incredible player, but that's probably the one that he would want back. Basically saying that of the four goals, that's the only one he could have probably had. And even that one was a tough one. So it's hard to really say how good Kähkönen did. I think the rest of the game, he kind of settled down. But at the same time, the rest of the game, the Avalanche played well defensively. I mean, this is a team that's had Philip Grubauer, Darcy Kemper, and Alexander Georgiev running the show for the last 3 years. And of course, Pavel Francouz. And they've played well defensively in front of all those guys at times. It just seems like right now they're trying to figure things out. And a lot of it to me has to do, despite their defensemen being healthy, a lot of it to me has to do with the fact that they're missing those two-way forwards like Nichushkin, like Lekin,
right,
from the lineup, as much as obviously wanting to see guys like Makar and Taves play better defensively.
Yeah, and the injury is obviously a big part of it. We know Ross Colton placed on injured reserve missed 6 to 8 weeks with the broken foot. That's tough because you can look at the scoring from the big guys. Obviously, Makar, MacKinnon, and Rantanen putting up big points in the top 10 in points in total. But their leading goal scorer is Colton. And Colton and Casey Mittelstadt have kind of been the guys under those big three, keeping the Avs at least, close to 500. So losing Colton, who has really blossomed into the player the Avs thought they were getting a year ago, that is a major blow. It is somewhat softened by the fact that Arturi Lehkonen, after his shoulder injury and subsequent surgery, is now expected to be back next week. Obviously, you lose one and you get one back, it doesn't feel like you gained a lot of ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it is. At this point, any player coming back is a victory. Whether Lehkonen comes back or not, the reality is Colton's gone for 6 to 8 weeks. So it's hard to really gauge it from that standpoint. Lehkonen right now is skating on the third line with Kelly and Kovalenko here at the practice rink. But he's not taking much contact, at least not from the few shifts that I saw him take. But of course, that kind of goes according to plan. Bednar already said that he's probably not going to, or he's most likely or probably for sure not playing on Saturday against the Nashville Predators. They're aiming, like you said, next week, Tuesday against Seattle. Bednar made it clear when he was mentioning Lehkonen, he said, we are aiming for Tuesday. So if something happens and he doesn't play Tuesday, it's not necessarily a setback. It's just, this is the game that they're aiming or shooting for. So I would assume at some point soon he'll be back. And it's going to be a huge addition. I mean, that's the reality is right now they're at a point where any guy they get back is going to help this team. So it starts with Lehkonen. Drouin will probably be next. We're less than 2 weeks away now from the potential reinstatement date for Val Nichushkin. We'll see how that shakes out. Miles Wood, 7 to 10 days is what Jared predicted yesterday morning. So any one of these guys coming back is going to be big for them.
Well, we're talking with Eric Dean, of course, who has not taken over as the head coach of the Avalanche. Jared Bednar is still there, but is at the Family Sports Center. You see the backdrop behind him.
And his mic and everything.
Yeah, you got all of it. Like, nobody tell him. It's fine. Actually, Jared Bednar would probably be happy to hand it over to you for about half the season, quite frankly, and maybe right now for sure. But when you look, let's look at some of the positives. Obviously, we know the injuries are a concern. Lehkonen coming back is a positive, but I want to take a look at a couple of the young players, especially Kovalenko and Ivan, who got another goal. Obviously, you're talking about guys. Cal Ritchie, you hit it on the head. They were going to give him a look and see if it was going to be enough, if he was ready to help the club. club and then they go ahead and keep that rookie status or not. But in this case, Kovalenko and Ivan look like they're here to stay. What have you seen? Do they both look ready? We know that Kovalenko made his debut in the playoffs last season, so the Avs feel highly about them. But those two guys in particular, what have you seen for the growth? How much do you think they can help the Avalanche even after they get healthier?
So starting with Kovalenko, to me, he's a top 12 forward on this team, and that includes a healthy Landeskog, Nichushkin, Lekkonen, Drouin, Colton, Wood. I hope I didn't forget anybody because it's a lot of them. Kovalenko's a top 12 forward on this team. The way he's playing is the type of player that the Avalanche could use in the playoffs, you know, assuming they go on a deep run and they have options, because he's a guy that, you know, plays on your bottom six, plays a tough game. He's 5'10", but he plays a heck of a lot bigger than that. But he's also the type of player that you can put higher up in the lineup. So, you know, last year when the Avalanche were missing Jonathan Drouin and Zach Parise jumped up to the top six, and then they were hoping to shift him down, and then Nichushkin got suspended the day Drouin came back, so he stayed up there. Kovalenko is the type of player that if you need to make changes, if you need someone to step into the top six, he's the kind of guy that can do it. Do you want him there long term? Maybe not yet. He does have an offensive upside that he hasn't really tapped into yet in the NHL level in these, you know, 10, 15 games he's played between last year and this year. But there is something there. Now for Ivan, what I like about this player is that, like, the reality is there are a lot of guys getting ice time right now for the Avalanche that are very much going to be sent back down or healthy scratched if or when they get healthy. You know, there's Chris Wagner, obviously Matt Steinberg, who's probably, you know, looking like he's going to get suspended at this point. A lot of players, even someone like Joel Kiviranta, he could be a 13th forward, maybe play. There's a lot of guys that are pretty much, you know, lame ducks right now. They're playing because the Avalanche are missing 5, 6, 7 guys out of the lineup all at once. What Ivan is doing, he's supposed to be one of those guys, like full stop. If you look at the Avalanche's healthy lineup, you have to get 13 names deep before you get to Kiviranta. And 12 and 11 are probably Miles Wood and Parker Kelly, or Miles Wood and Kovalenko. So there's a lot of depth on this team if they're fully healthy. What Ivan has done in these 11 games is at least make it difficult to send him down. At least make the coaching staff second guess. Think about it. You know, when the guys get healthy, it's not going to be hard to send Chris Wagner and Matt Steinberg down. That's just the reality of the situation. No disrespect to those players. Ivan is making it so that the coaching staff has to at least think about it. And that in itself is a victory, because most of the time, a lot of players in his position, especially on a contending team like the Avalanche, they only get opportunities when they arise, and they only arise when you have 5 injuries and a suspension. So he's making the most of it and really stapling himself as the next best option. Or if it's late in the season and early in the playoffs and you're getting shut down or shut out, or you need a little bit of a spark to the lineup, you know, hey, who can we call up? We can call up the guy that in the first 10, 15 games made an impression.
In Steinberg's case, as you brought up, probably looking at a suspension gets the major and the game is conduct for the charge of Eric Cernak. Cernak injured in that game and then did not return. Steinberg now expected to face a player safety hearing today about that situation. Obviously, you're talking about a young player. In his very first game for the Avs in his debut, he got in a fight. He obviously has the charging area. When you're talking about a young guy, you're trying to make a name. You're not one of the team's top prospects. It's good to have the energy. It's good to maybe have a little bit of that vinegar in you, but you've got to find a way to keep that in check, because the Avalanche especially cannot afford to lose guys, whether it's from injury or suspension or anything like that. And even if it's Steinberg, as opposed to, say, a Landeskog, they're just so shorthanded. That has to be smarter. That's probably it's an unfortunate situation. And I don't mean to necessarily paint Steinberg with an overly wide brush, but at the same time, that's the kind of stuff that just cannot endear you to the organization.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is earlier in the game, he had the hit on Jurgensen's on Zemgus Girgensons that led to Lilleberg jumping in, and Lilleberg got 4 minutes, Steinberg got 2. So he gave the Avalanche a power play, and that's what you want. You want your fourth line to come out, provide energy, see if they can get under the opponent's skin. What happened on the next play was he kind of got a little in over his head with how he approached it. It wasn't, you know, because he had that play earlier in the game where he drew a penalty, maybe the coaching staff isn't going to completely be upset with him. Obviously, at the same time, 5-minute major is a tough pill to swallow for any team, especially when it comes from a fourth liner who's a rookie who's trying to make a name for himself. But I think, like Bednar said last night, you want to tiptoe that line between providing energy and keeping it clean rather than a dirty hit. And it seemed like he went over the edge a little bit. I think the most frustrating part to me about the play is he had Eric Cernak lined up in a way where, had he just not jumped into the hit and not gotten him at the head, it still would have been a powerful enough hit, and he still had him lined up in a good enough position that probably would have warranted some kind of a response from Tampa Bay. And maybe you end up in another situation when you're on the power play. But it just seemed like he got a little too excited, got a little too over his head, and really jumped into that hit when it was just absolutely unnecessary to do that. So he's probably going to get suspended here. We'll see how it goes. And that's only going to make it tougher because the Avalanche have a little bit of a cap situation. They're low on forwards. They already don't want to play Shillington at forward again, I don't think. So if you're going to need to replace Shillington and replace Steinberg, there's a possibility you might have to send Matt Steinberg down and call somebody else up to actually play. But in that situation, if Steinberg is sent down, he's not quote unquote serving his suspension yet. Right. He would need to get called up later and then like sit a game or two or whatever he gets in order to actually serve a suspension. So we'll just see how it all shakes out. Obviously, it all starts with what the decision is at the player safety department.
I mean, this is such an unusual situation. I mean, the Avs obviously at that 5-6 start in a weird fashion too, of course, right? They start off poorly. Yeah. They rip off 5 wins and then things, to get themselves back to 500 and then things change. But it's so hard to evaluate this team at this point, given how many pieces are missing, how many big pieces are missing. They're missing an entire second line and a second line with some guys that have all-star caliber potential. They're missing other players as well. But when you look at the way that they're trying to weather the storm, knowing that they feel that these guys will get healthy at some point, but not knowing when that will be, the mindset of the team in trying to just grind through this part of the schedule and get their head above water. Are you seeing anything concerning given the fact that obviously they're outmanned in every game? The goaltending has been sporadic at best, if not quite frankly poor. Are you seeing any sort of concern or frustration from the Avalanche on the whole in this early part of the season? Or is this just kind of where they're going to put their heads down and keep on keeping on?
I'm back. I heard you.
Oh, okay. You gotcha.
Yeah. My Wi-Fi crashed for like 10 seconds, so it kicked me out of the room. But I got your question, and ultimately, I got the last part of the question. But ultimately, where the Avalanche are right now is they need to just be in survival mode. If you asked me a week and a half ago when they were 0-4, if they were going to be 5-6, I probably would have said no. Granted, the schedule's been a little bit easy for them lately, or at least more fortunate than it could have been, I should say. But right now, like, their goal is to remain as close to 500 as possible. Don't let the season completely get away from you while you're waiting for these guys. There's a lot to fix on this team from the guys that are playing. I think one of the more frustrating parts of yesterday's game is, even with all the injuries, you had a lot of shifts where you had McKinnon, Rantanen, Girard, and Makar on the ice all at the same time with Kiviranta. And those guys were getting outplayed too. So no matter who's on the bench, no matter who's injured, the Avalanche's top guys had a poor start just as much as the fact that they were shorthanded and they kind of lower in the lineup had guys that probably shouldn't be playing. So there's a lot to fix from the guys that are here, but all you're hoping to do is to, kind of stay close as possible to 500, stay in the race, let these guys get back and do what you've done for the last 3-4 years and go on a run. It's a very easy thing to do for this team. Like, it's crazy to say it. They just won 5 games in a row missing all these guys.
With the goaltending that was not impressive.
Exactly.
Despite their goaltending.
Exactly, yeah. And you're going to get guys back. You're going to face tougher competition. That's the reality. But you're also going to get guys back. You're going to have reinforcements. Last year around the trade deadline, I think it was 8 or 9 straight wins coming out of the deadline when they had their full roster. So it's very possible for them to do that again. And I would almost guarantee or count on it at this point. You know, this isn't the Edmonton Oilers of a season ago where they're 2-9-1 and hoping, that they can go on like a 20-5 run. They don't need to do that. They're hovering around 500. If you remember a couple seasons ago, they won 20 of their first 40 games. They were 20-17 and 3 at the 40 game mark and still ended up above 50 wins.
Yeah, so, we'll find out. The schedule softens up a bit for them. They get a couple days off before facing Nashville on Saturday, and then they get another two-day break before being back home against Seattle Tuesday. Perhaps we'll see Arturi Lehkonen then, and then another two-day break before they play next Thursday. So a little bit of an opportunity to regroup for the Avs. Maybe they can, again, just kind of keep their head above water. This will be a fascinating stretch of a couple weeks. We'll see if they start getting some pieces back. And as you pointed out, it came up quick already. Some of the situation with Valeri Nichushkin will come to a head sooner rather than later, which is why you want to follow Arif. Make sure you check out the podcast, The Rinkside with Arif Dean, for all the latest on the Avalanche. It's terrific. We always get it's a treat to get to talk to him about the Avs. And it might not be pretty for the next couple weeks or month or so, but that doesn't mean all hope is lost. Go check out the podcast for more from Arif. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for taking a little break there, and give Jared Bednar his podium back, would you?
I will, for sure. But yeah, we're about 6 to 8 games per site, you know, just about 6 to 8 games away from having Wood, Nichushkin, Lehkonen, and Drouin all back in the lineup.
Yeah, now we're having very different discussions.
Then you can go back to just, you know, the usual things. What's wrong with the goaltending and where's Gabe Landeskog? Like, the Avalanche can't even focus on those things right now because of all the other injuries that they have.
Yeah, he is Arif Dean, the podcast Rinkside with Arif Dean, available wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can get that as part of the My Life Sports Podcast Network as well. Thanks so much, Arif. Take care.
Of course, man. Thank you so much for having me on.